Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You're able to say, this is the problem here, this is the problem there. I'm so pleased that you give all sides of the story.
Now, back to the Lisa Wexler Show on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. 203-333-9422 is your number to call us. A couple of days ago, the Hartford Courant did a story on how Connecticut is facing an overwhelming coronavirus pandemic-induced crisis in pediatric mental health care. And there are a lot of brilliant people trying to offer solutions via law, although I think the solutions, some of them can come via law and policy, and others need to come in our own households every single day. But then on top of that, this morning, I saw some breaking news that not only have our own brilliant medical and psychiatric advisors here in Connecticut noticed it for our youth, but pediatricians and psychiatrists are declaring a national emergency in youth mental health. That was noted in the Times this morning, that leading medical groups have declared a national emergency in child and adolescent mental health triggered by prolonged isolation, uncertainty, and grief during the coronavirus pandemic. In a joint statement yesterday, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and the Children's Hospital Association together said that the coronavirus pandemic had worsened an already existing mental health crisis among children and teens, background to which is that suicide attempts have been up more than 50% in early 2021 compared with the same period in 2019. Emergency department visits with mental health emergency rose by 24%. In Connecticut, we have a crisis in adolescent and children's beds. Literally, parents who know that their kids are in emergency have to wait. They have to wait for their own kid to get help and treatment. So joining us now is Patricia Reamer. She is the president of the Behavioral Health Network, which is MediSpeak for psychiatric health. When you hear behavioral health, what you really want to translate into your head is psychiatric health. For Hartford Healthcare, which is a vast network of healthcare providers here in Connecticut, including St. Vincent's in Bridgeport and the St. Vincent's Behavioral Health Hospital located in Westport, Connecticut. Ms. Reamer began her career as a staff nurse at the Institute of Living in Hartford. She served as the commissioner of the Department of Mental Health and Addictions from 2009 through 2015 and since then took a position at Hartford Health. Ms. Reamer, Patricia, hello. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, may I call you Patricia? Please call me Lisa.
Yes, or Patty. Pat, whichever. Or
Pat, yeah. Pat. Thank you, Pat.
Right.
Pat, first things first, can you tell us the data, specifically as you're getting up in the morning and looking at the data, how many people in Connecticut, how many families are in actual acute crisis for mental health with respect to their children under the age of 18?
Boy, I can't give you a specific number, but I can tell you that it is much larger than we have ever seen. You know, if we look at the statistic that one in five individuals will have some sort of mental health crisis before the age of 18, you know, we are seeing that exponentially grow directly related to what you talked about, the COVID crisis, the isolation, inability to be in school with their peers. And, you know, the grief, which is really important, that these kids have lost family members. And as we all know, grief has been pretty interrupted throughout this pandemic, and there is not the typical way to have the rituals that we would have that help with closure around that. But I think it really, for the most part, is related to the disruption in school and the disruption in social relationships and the isolation that these kids are experiencing.
I do, too, because with respect to grief, if we really drill down on our own data, the vast majority of people that died from COVID were people that were older. So they would have been grandparents, perhaps even great-grandparents for these kids. And while we mourn our grandparents terribly, it is not the same as losing your own parent or a sibling. So I think that you're right. If we were to drill down, it's got to be the isolation and disruption. So, Pat, we're chatting with Pat Reamer, and we're talking about mental health crisis of adolescent and kids at 203-333-9422. So I believe you. I know it to be true. In my other life, I am the probate judge for Westport and Weston. And I have, if you look at my docket, I was just there yesterday. I'll be there today. My docket has increased tremendously since COVID. And I'm seeing younger and younger people being admitted for things like cannabis abuse that is inducing psychosis, which is to say they're smoking too much weed or they're smoking the wrong kind of weed and they lose touch with reality. And I'm seeing this in younger and younger people every day. And I know that what you're saying is not exaggerated. So let's talk about this isolation and let's talk about this disruption. I think we'll be playing the woulda, coulda, shoulda game for a long time and looking at Scandinavia and saying, you know what? Maybe they didn't do it so wrong. And I'm not talking about Sweden. I'm talking about Denmark, where the kids went to school every day and washed their hands every hour. But they were together. So, no, I mean that. And I said that during the crisis, Pat. During the crisis, I said, why don't we put the kids in school and have them wash their hands every hour and have them be on a mask? But the teachers did not want to show up to school. Let's be honest about it. They didn't want to go to school. They were older. They were afraid of COVID. They were getting messages that their own life was at risk. And so they didn't go to school. And I think we failed our children. I just want to say that.
Well, I mean, if we look at the numbers of kids that are arriving in emergency departments across this state, it does speak to very, very loudly that something has gone wrong in our system. And, you know, one of the supports for kids are often school-based mental health clinics. And so if you're not in school, you don't have access to that. And I think that that has created part of this crisis. And it's just amazing to see the number of kids that are really flooding into the emergency department, which creates another crisis because we know that probably about 30 to 35% of people that come to emergency rooms for psychiatric care actually need inpatient care, but they need something. They're in the emergency room because they need something. And we don't have, at this point in time, a good community mental health system to support these kids. We have inpatient, we have outpatient, we have some intensive treatment programs, but the choices about what they need in-home services, they need mental health support in the schools, they need programs that are involving their families, because kids who have mental health crises are impacting the entire family. And if the entire family is not involved, then you're just going to keep perpetuating the crisis. The other thing that I find...
Tell me. I want to hear.
The other thing that I find very interesting and disturbing about this is that we have seen an enormous increase in eating disorders. So young girls with eating disorders... While we've had eating disorders, obviously, in the psychiatric system for as long as any of us can remember, we have seen a significant increase. And the sad part about that is that many people closed programs in the last 10 years because we weren't seeing as many. And now we have kids that have, and it's girls and boys, but primarily girls, that have these very significant eating disorders. And if you want to talk about a way to control what's going on in your life, control your eating. So I think that that is another outcome of this that we are struggling to figure out how to deal with.
So are you saying that the eating disorders are largely of the anorexic and bulimic type?
Yes. Yes, it's both. It's both anorexia, significant weight loss, kids ending up with, frankly, tubes in their noses to get them fed. And then there is also the bulimia that we see where kids are just vomiting, you know, consistently throughout the day, which is dangerous in and of itself for a variety of reasons.
And you started by saying we're talking with Pat Riemer, who is the president of the Behavioral Health Network at Hartford Healthcare. You said that, quote, if you want to control your life, eating is the way to begin to do that. So explain the psychology behind these eating disorders.
Right. So, well, if you think about, you know, control, right, then what in your life can you control? You're out of school. You can't see your friends. You can't go out of the house. There's no socializing. What you can control is what you eat or what you don't eat. And so we believe that, you know, theoretically, the part of an eating disorder is the ability of the individual to control that one behavior when everything else in their lives is so out of control. And so that obviously is a huge concern.
You know, Pat, the friends of mine in my life that developed eating disorders young, those eating disorders never went away in terms of their psychological. In other words, it's always been a psychiatric stressor on them. Sometimes they've
right.
looked better than at other times, but they have admitted to me, I have several friends, they admitted to me that the counting calories and the constant monitoring and the anxiety around eating never really went away.
Right. That is what we have seen, that even though you may look better and your eating disorder may be under pretty good control, the anxiety that accompanies that and the ongoing issues with it is really, like most psychiatric issues, a lifetime. These don't go away easily. They are treated. People can and do recover. I think that's really important for especially parents to understand. Doesn't mean your kid is going to spend their life in a psychiatric hospital, but you have to get the help that you need. And that is the other issue we are struggling with, making sure that we have enough psychiatrists, APRNs, clinicians to treat all of these kids. And that is a real crisis right now as well, because most behavioral health psychiatric entities are experiencing severe workforce shortages.
Yeah, that's a very big piece. Pat Reamer, may I ask you something? I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that licensed practical nurses, nurse practitioners, are permitted in Connecticut to prescribe medicine. Is that right?
That is correct, yep.
So can you go to a nurse practitioner for a prescription of a psychiatric medicine?
Yes. Now, there are different nurse practitioners, right? So APRNs in psychiatry are able to prescribe psychiatric medications and are very familiar with them and obviously have had all the education that is required in order to do that safely.
Okay. So, I mean, because I personally think our mental health system is completely screwed up in that most mm-hmm. people who are educated know that you usually need a combination of medicine and cognitive talk therapy. And
correct.
when you're dealing with a mental health crisis, now all of a sudden you have to find two people to help you instead of just one. And it's extremely stressful and difficult to do that. I'm wishing that our medical structure would be able to ease that for people. Do you have any solutions to that? Because it's a very big problem in real life.
It is. And one of the things that many of us are doing and Hartford HealthCare is doing is embedding psychiatric clinicians in primary care so that you don't have to go find a psychiatrist or an APRN. So if you have a clinical person in a primary care setting, they can help the primary care physician to prescribe medication appropriately. And obviously, there's always psychiatric backup for that. We need to do more of that in pediatrician's office. There's a program in the state of Connecticut called the Access Program where pediatricians can call an on-call psychiatrist to get assistance if somebody is in their office and they want to know what medication they can prescribe safely. But we need to expand that, and we need to put clinicians in pediatrician's office and increasingly in primary care offices. That is a way to get to a much larger percentage of individuals.
That's a great idea. I didn't know that you were working on that. We're chatting with Pat Reamer. Pat, we have to go today, and I know that you're otherwise busy, but may I ask you to come on again soon, because I feel like we've only skimmed the surface of this. Can you do a part two with me next week?
Absolutely. I would love to do that.
All right. I would love that. Melissa's going to connect with you off air. Patricia Reamer, who is the president of Behavioral Health Network at Hartford HealthCare. Thank you very much for making time to join us this morning. This is really a very important conversation. We have to keep it going.
Thank you for talking about this. It is important.
Thank you, Pat. We'll be right back. We've got two wonderful entertainers, Jim and Sasha Allen, who will be joining us. They are the latest stars of The Voice, and they hail from none other than Newtown, Connecticut. So we're going to hear all about them and get to know them in just a moment. Stay tuned for more of The Lisa Wexler Show. Wexler Show. Why don't I pronounce it correctly myself? Here on WICC and WICC600.com and 107.3 FM.